Forgive us today in advance. We're going to stumble around. We're going to make mistakes. We are going to have laughter in some inappropriate places, probably. And hopefully I could keep from crying. I thought I was going to be able to do that earlier on SportsCenter. I was not able to keep from crying. Jose Fernandez has passed away in South Florida at the age of 24. He was the Marlins ace. He was on his way to becoming Dwight Gooden. He was a joyful creature, got into a boating accident. And so while many of you are expecting football talk today, our city, my city, is in mourning in a way that's deeply personal and hard and unusual. Nothing like this has ever happened in South Florida. And so while many of you do not know who Jose Fernandez is or how excellent he was by nature of where he played and the sport that he was playing, he was on his way to being Dwight Gooden, as dominant as any pitcher in the history of the sport. He was just starting life. He was 24 years old. We're mourning today the death of Arnold Palmer. He got to live his life. America will be celebrating the life of Arnold Palmer today, mourning it the way that it should be, which is you got to see it. You got to share it with him.
And he got to live it in its entirety.
Jose Fernandez did not. He was on his way to a $200 million contract. He was in negotiations with the Marlins. He turned down every offer. Scott Boras turned down every offer because they wanted Clayton Kershaw money. And so this is heartbreaking for a million different reasons. But what we want to do here today is introduce you to him a little bit and explain to you why it is that this is so weirdly and deeply personal for South Florida. There are a handful of reasons for this. Only one of them ethnic, and not the most important one. He had a unique link to the Cuban-American community because his story was our story. It was uniquely Cuban. He tried to defect four times, ended up in a prison. And hear from him in his own words here how it is and what it is that that experience in prison was, trying to find freedom, getting caught, trying to get to this country to his dream, and being jailed for it, trying to escape Cuba as so many baseball players have.
What was the most scared you were there, Jose?
I had a problem with one of the guys there, and I wasn't too friendly.
And that's all you're giving us? That's it? You just had a problem there with a guy who wasn't too friendly?
I mean, there was a guy there that he was like kind of like, you know, there's a guy in prison. I mean, I don't know if you know. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I hope not.
No, I have not been in a Cuban prison. No, okay. No, thank you.
Okay, and that was one of the guys that, you know, like one of the guys that killed. He had like seven people that killed, something like that, something crazy.
Jeez.
Yeah, and I was there, so he said, for some reason, he came up to me. He's like, you got to stop looking at me, man. Why don't you keep looking at me? And I was like, man, you know, I don't know you. I don't even want to know you. I'm just here because I have to be here. I haven't done anything I'm not supposed to. So, and the guys, I don't care. And thanks God that one of the other guys kind of like, you know, came between and told me the guy, leave the kid alone. Nothing happened after that, but that moment was pretty scary.
So he was 15 years old at the time. He's trying to get out of Cuba. He's jailed for trying to get out of Cuba. He tried four times, was not successful till the last time. And then the hard stuff started after that, in his own words. We asked him what was the most scared he was when he got to America, and this is what he had to say.
You were talking about missing your family, and you were talking about, you know, just missing Cuba and the language difficulties. What's the most scared that you were?
You know, I think it was, you know, when I started going to school, I felt like, you know, like I didn't belong here.
Like an outsider, right, to this country.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, I felt for that, in that time, I had a doubt on my mind if it make the right choice. But I mean, the game and you know what I feel about the game, it's just it makes everything and they told me, you know, it's not going to be easy, so I was warned about it. And I mean, but when I started school, it was pretty tough. And then, you know, it's when everything they got with me, it's like, you know, my family and stuff, I'm pretty big on family, so missing my family like crazy. But you know, it's a little tough.
What made you feel like you didn't belong? Anything other than the language? Was there anything else?
You know, the way the people dress, and then you know, everything for me was different. You know, they're like the way, you know, everything they look at you, and then, you know, it's horrible, because when you know the language, you don't know what they're saying. They're looking at you and they're laughing. You have no idea what they're saying at all. So it's hard to, you know, to be around people in the classroom, and you don't even know what the teacher is saying to you. So those kind of things, I think that was tough. And by the end of that first year, I could have talked and I could have communicated a little, but it was pretty tough.
One of the things I remember him telling us, Dugatz, is that he would take tests going through a dictionary for every word, and that on the FCAT, he didn't know where to put his name. Like, can you imagine taking a test that way? That on the FCAT, he did not know the place to put his name, and now he's taking the FCAT. So he's totally lost, and that informs some of what's happening here. Do you remember his answer when we asked him about what was, it seems like a ridiculous question, right? What's harder? What was harder, your first few months in America?
Yeah, at the time, it did seem like a ridiculous question and a ridiculous answer, yes.
What was harder, your first couple of months in America or your time in that Cuban prison with a guy you were scared of because he had 7 deaths on his resume?
I mean, it's simple. The only reason that it was more difficult here, I think, is because I was overwhelmed and I didn't know the language. So I was like, pretty tough when you don't know, when you walk by people and you hear them talking and they're laughing and you can't understand what they're talking about. So I think that was the only reason why it was hard.
So for those of you who don't understand the transition or don't understand who this person was, and keep in mind, like I tell you, his story is our story in Miami for a lot of Cubans, but that the ethnic part of this is only one part of it. The part that doesn't need a translator, the part that connected with all the people you see crying on television, Eduardo Perez, Mike Hill, the general manager of the Marlins, Don Mattingly, the part that connected is the joy with which he played, with the gratitude with which he played, that he was appreciative of his freedom, that he was appreciative of the life that he had in this country, and he carried himself with an uncommon joy that made Barry Bonds, of all people, hitting coach Barry Bonds, hug him and kiss him on the field, during play, in the dugout. Barry Bonds wasn't doing that with other people. He did it some, but not like he did it with Jose Fernandez, where he would just, you wanted to be around. This is what makes it so hard today, the idea that the brightest of lights has been extinguished. And so just so that you understand the gratitude that this person had about being in this country, listen to him talk about some of the things that we might take for granted in this country when he talks about being in an airport bathroom.
When I'm in the airport in Texas, I go to the restroom, right, and I see everybody washing their hands. I'm like, okay. I never, you know, in Cuba, nobody washes their hands. There's not even soap, you know. So I'm looking at everybody, but I'm trying to see how you turn on the water. And there's anything to, and I was like, man, what are they doing? How the water is coming out? And I didn't know it's like a sensor that you got to put your hands under, and the water comes out. So I'm there looking at it, and I'm like, oh, I don't know how to open it. So I started, like, touching it, and, like, I hit it a couple of times. I was like, this ain't working, so I stepped back, and the next guy did it, and I was like, how did he do that? So I went back again to the water fountain, and I couldn't get it to work, so I left.
I mean, just the small, like, there were so many things like that. Listen to him talking about the idea of all-you-can-eat buffets in this country.
The first time I went, I remember I was arriving here, I went to eat in a restaurant, and I ordered like a soda or something. I don't know what it was. It was like soda. And I drank it all, and, you know, I'm sitting my dad, and I tell him, hey, can I have another one? And the guy just come and put, like, filled up the cup with the soda. And I was like, wait. So I didn't get that.
So refills?
Yeah.
The idea of refills was stunning to you.
I think that was like, what? Hold on. I'm not going to pay for it. I didn't ask you for another one, you know? So I remember the first time, too, that I went to like a buffet like that, and my dad told me, no, you can eat all you want. And I was like, no, man, I'm not going to get in trouble.
You thought he was tricking you? You thought he was sending you? You thought the all-you-can-eat buffet was a trick that your father was...
I was like, no, man. I'm not going to get in trouble. I know, it's fine, but I'm not going to get in trouble, you know?
We're going to bounce around clumsily all day today. We got breaking news here. Who is Pat Riley telling that Chris Bosh's career is over? Who is... That's on SportsCenter right now.
Yeah, the South Florida media.
Yeah, he's addressing a couple media members right now, local media.
So we'll get to that in a second, because Chris Bosh isn't saying Chris Bosh's career is over.
Well, I think Riley's saying Chris Bosh's career with the Heat is over. If Chris Bosh wants to continue playing, Chris Bosh can continue to play.
Okay, we will figure that out in coming days, in coming segments. We will stumble around here. Oh my God, this is going to be terrible today.
It's been a tough day, obviously, for everyone, and everyone reflects on their history with Jose, and I think back to seeing that precocious young high school senior in the All-Star game, and then sitting at his kitchen table with Stan Meek as we, you know, attempted to sign him, bringing him in to pro player and introducing him as the newest Marlin, you know, back in 2011. And I don't know if there's words to express, you know, how I feel. It's a tremendous loss. And my heart goes out to his family.
That's Mike Hill, the president of baseball operations for the Marlins. We're going to explain to you who this person was over the course of the show, and we're going to explain to you where he was headed so that you understand it in terms of Miami and the way South Florida is grieving today at an extinguished life as we celebrate the life of Arnold Palmer dying at the age of 87. He got to live his life, so the mourning is different than the sudden thudding finality of losing someone who hasn't gotten a chance to live the best parts of his life.
That Marlins press conference, so difficult to watch yesterday. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. More independent agents sell Progressive Insurance than any other brand. Find an agent at progressive.com. Now that's Progressive. The Dan Le Batard Show is brought to you by Quickie, Real Clean, Made Easy.
Something I can tell you about the Chris Bosh situation as Pat Riley addresses the media, and forgive us, we're going to be stumbling all over the place today because this has never before happened in South Florida. We've never lost this kind of athlete. So I've worked 25 years as a journalist in this market, and this feeling has never existed. The combination of a personal connection with an athlete dying young, with his greatness, with his joy, this is a grief unlike any celebrity death in the history of South Florida.